Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And WNYC political director Andrea Bernstein and I will be recording our weekly podcast this afternoon, Digesting Politics, in which we follow the presidential race. Digesting Politics is a free web-only feature that you won't hear on the radio, so sign up for the Digesting Politics podcast for free at WNYC.org. Now, when you think about pilgrimages, what comes to mind? Maybe something like walking to Santiago de Compostela, making your way to Mecca, or Fatima, Lourdes, Canterbury. But have you considered a pilgrimage to, I don't know, the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, maybe, or a Coca-Cola headquarters in Atlanta, or hiking the 800-mile Alaskan pipeline? Well, according to my next guest, the modern-day pilgrimage is not only alive and well, but essential if you want to find a sense of purpose and mindfulness. Here now is Dan Austin, author of The Road Trip Pilgrim's Guide, Witch Doctors, Magic Tokens, Camping on Golf Courses, and Everything You Need to Know to Go on a Pilgrimage. He is also a documentary filmmaker and the co-founder of a great-sounding organization, 88 Bikes, a nonprofit which endows orphanages with bicycles. Dan, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
What makes a trip a pilgrimage?
A trip becomes a pilgrimage when you go with a sense of wanting to return a different person than the one who left. You know, a lot of vacations are defined by a sense of escapism, where you want to escape from daily life. A pilgrimage, you escape to a new life. So you return a different person than the one who left, and typically it involves a destination that has some sort of importance to the pilgrim and a path that is, you know, defined by that importance.
So, like on our morning show, The Takeaway, they have this way that they have listeners do movie reviews. And the listeners are supposed to say, is it art or is it an escape? So you can apply that to travel and say, is it an escape or is it a pilgrimage?
Yeah. I mean, and typically, you know, pilgrimages have been seen with in a very sobering sense. And that's fine. It can be that way. But the way that travel is sort of morphing now is in a sense that a journey can have a sense of whimsicalness. It can be fun, and it can also have that sense of importance. So, you know, a journey can lead you to a place like Mecca, or it could also lead you to the Basketball Hall of Fame.
So how do you choose the shrine or subject of your pilgrimage, depending on who you are?
Well, it's a place that makes sense to you, that means something to you. I mean, you can make a place to the holiest pilgrimage, to the most holiest place on the planet, and it would do nothing for you. If you make a pilgrimage, however, to a place that for some might have no holiness at all, like the Basketball Hall of Fame or a bar or whatever. If you're the one who has that sense of importance to that place, that pulls you onto the quest.
You know, I guess I made a pilgrimage last week, and I didn't even quite think of it in those terms. But for my son's 10th birthday, I took him to the place he always wanted to see. Wrigley Field in Chicago
and
for Memorial Day. I guess we made a pilgrimage.
Absolutely. And I think for many people, Wrigley Field would be a pilgrimage. I remember going when I was, like, I think 15, and my dad had a horrible time navigating Chicago traffic. But nonetheless, we made it.
And the Cubs win. Here's somebody who posted on our comments page who said, my dad went on a pilgrimage where the dude who wrote Conan the Barbarian lived.
Absolutely. I think that's the beauty of it. You know, you can really be anything you want it to be. It's completely defined by what makes sense to you and what means something to you.
And someone else wrote, my pilgrimage was not an ordeal. I went on my own to visit the tomb of Dante Alighieri in Ravenna, far from yet near enough to his beloved home in Florence.
Ah, it's perfect. Yeah, it's wonderful to see the unlimited possibilities for going on a meaningful travel.
Anybody else want to call in on the question of pilgrimages, your pilgrimages versus escape travel, or any other way you want to think about this? And was it all that you hoped it would be? You know, I mean, it's a light one to go visit the home of the dude who wrote Conan the Barbarian, or to Wrigley Field. What about if you went to Mecca? What about if you went to the Western Wall in Jerusalem, or whatever? 212-433-WNYC. You divide pilgrimages into three length categories. The weekend trip, what do you call that? The Pico pilgrimage?
Yeah, you have the Pico pilgrimages, which can be, you know, even an afternoon. And I think that's one of the misnomers, is the sense that to go on a pilgrimage, a journey that transforms you, it has to be some epic quest that lasts months or years. And in fact, I think you can have a really meaningful quest that lasts just a weekend. It can be across town. It can be down a Blockbuster. It could be, you know, anything you want it to be.
A middle path, a week to 10 days, or a full-blown pilgrimage several months long. What's the biggest pilgrimage that you've undertaken?
Well, you know, the one that really changed my life was a bike trip across America I took several years ago with my best friend and my brother. And it was, in fact, the Basketball Hall of Fame, so kind of a, you know, a different spin on the idea of pilgrimage. But even though it had kind of a whimsical nature to it, that journey, you know, really connected us with America. It gave us a sense for what our country was all about. We had an amazing time. We connected with people all across the country and just had a super time. It was 3.5 months.
Chris in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Chris.
Morning, Brian. Love the show.
Thanks.
I called in a bunch of times in the past.
Great.
I never travel to escape. I've been to Tibet twice. You know, I do extended trips over a month. British Columbia, Egypt, Cambodia, Laos, Thailand, Korea, Japan, multiple times. I'm the guy who plays the Japanese shakuhachi flute.
Uh-huh.
So I take that with me. I played in the Great Pyramid. I played in all kinds of temples in Tibet. I played with Buddhist monks when they would chant and play their percussion. So to me, that is the only way to travel, is to take a pilgrimage.
Because if you just come back relaxed, then, well, maybe you've, you know, relaxed, but you haven't changed anything.
Right, but it does relax you. I mean, obviously there is an escape factor, but that's not my motivation. My motivation is to learn about the world and I live in and the people in it and the whole,
right.
You know.
Thank you. Not to judge everybody who takes a restful vacation, right? We all need that.
Oh, absolutely. And again, that's the reason why I wanted to reframe the idea of a pilgrimage, because it can be restful. It can even have an element of escapism, just as long as it still has that kind of that personal spirituality and that sense of purpose.
You're right, though, that every road trip pilgrim should have a magical token of the quest. What is that?
A magical token is something that kind of defines the quest. It's the symbol of the quest. When we went across America, mountain biked across America, we brought with us an unblemished official NBA basketball that was that sat in the Ark of the Covenant. That was our bike trailer, so, you know. And we asked people along the way, heroic folks who helped us out or, you know, gave us a place to stay for the night, to sign this ball. And when we arrived at the Basketball Hall of Fame, we presented this ball, this hero's ball, to the powers that be in hopes they'd enshrine it. So that ball became kind of the symbol of what we were after on the journey, connecting with the people of our country.
Kevin in Brooklyn, you took a pilgrimage to where?
Yes, I have the most inane pilgrimage of all. A friend of mine, a college friend, and myself are in San Francisco. We saw on the map that there was a place called Whiskey Town in California, way up north. And without knowing anything about it, we hopped in the car and drove up there. And when we got up there, there was only all it consisted of was a post office and a gift shop. So out of my pilgrimage, I got a really nice refrigerator magnet.
There you go. At least you bought something.
Yep.
Kevin, thank you very much. Gibbs in Greenwich. You're on WNYC. Hey, Gibbs.
I'm Greenwich Village.
Oh, I'm sorry.
In 1959, South Greenwich. When I graduated Columbia University and was lost and confused and scared, somebody said, why don't you go to Europe? And after getting over that fear, I did. I went to Milan, bought a Lambretta, was scared out of my mind, proceeded to go south because I figured it was going to be warm, not knowing, not reading a map, didn't realize I was going up mountains and freezing to death. And the reality was, for the first couple of days, I was absolutely terrified. Woke up one night in a youth hostel and figured I'm either going to dump my scooter off the side of a mountain or I'm going to just go through my fear and go. I proceeded to have the trip of my life. I didn't know what a pilgrimage was at the time. Mm-hmm. I left scared and confused, came back in unbelievably strong, talked to my father when I got off the plane, who was in Miami at the time. He said, what are you going to do now? I said, I don't know. He said, you don't know? I said, no. I had no apartment. I had no place to go. I had no job, no nothing.
You know what?
I felt very confident.
Gibbs, thank you. Thank you very much. A transformative pilgrimage with an indeterminate ending.
Yeah, and you hear that a lot, you know, someone who kind of reaches a point where you know, the journey could either stop or it could go on, and you have to push through that little that moment of fear or discomfort and keep going. And if you do, I've heard that so many times, people have these amazing journeys that transform their lives.
You write that where you spend the night is important, so I gather you don't recommend people stay in the local Motel 6.
Well, you certainly can. I mean, I think that's the magic of going on a pilgrimage. You can really have a transformative experience no matter where you are, even a mundane Motel 6. But in the book, I do talk about a number of different places that is that are, you know, make for great pilgrim campsites. Like,
you write about spending the night in Boston Commons or golf courses or graveyards, and you use a campsite rating system that uses three classifications: cool factor, comfort and amenities, and the possibility of getting kicked out.
Exactly. For instance, like, you could camp at a lighthouse. Cool factor, very high. Lighthouses are cool. You got a nice view, and it's a lighthouse. Comfort factor, probably pretty low. We camped out at a lighthouse in Scotland, and we dealt with the foghorn all night long. We're, you know, inland guys from Utah, so, you know, we weren't familiar with foghorns. And anyway, so, you know, finding the campsite for the night is one of the best things about a pilgrimage: a town park, a graveyard, whatever you are.
You know, we're almost out of time, but we were intrigued by the story in your book where the majority of people who are walking the nearly 500-mile road to Santiago de Compostela, where some Christians believe the remains of St. James are buried, that the majority aren't even devout Christians. You write, Buddhists, atheists, surfers, Sikhs, mystics, hedonists, etc., all go. Why would they make an explicitly religious pilgrimage in 15 seconds?
Well, that's the beauty of going on a pilgrimage is that these days is that the path has become more than just a one-denominational path. Because something that intrigues people, and people want to connect with something that's deeper than themselves.
My guest has been Dan Austin, and he will be reading from this book, The Road Trip Pilgrim's Guide, Witch Doctors, Magic Tokens, Camping on Golf Courses, and Everything You Need to Know to Go on a Pilgrimage, reading tonight at 7 p.m. at East West Books, 78 Fifth Avenue at 14th Street in Manhattan. Happy pilgrimage to the Upper Greenwich Village.
Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Have a great weekend, everyone.